Welcome to the program. Let me formally welcome you to the program. Ready? Welcome to the program.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
God, no, please don't.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
This isn't that easy.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, sure, fine, whatever.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. What more do you want?
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
How you doing? Welcome to the program. Hi. Oh, you caught me off guard. I didn't know you were here. Welcome to this show. All right, I'm going to get this out of the way, and I'm not going to dwell on it because this isn't worth the breath that comes out of my mouth. Here's what I want you to do. I don't care whether you voted for Donald Trump or not. Hillary Clinton is not in the picture anymore, so let's just drop that rhetoric. Here's the deal, man. If you're a Republican, why don't you just get this fuckhead out of office? Impeach him. You can get him on Russian connections. You can open up his tax returns, demand that they be looked at, and look at all his dealings with, in the manner of which it should not be done. You can indict this son of a bitch. I mean, this jail Hillary thing can turn into jail Trump quite easily, in the snap of the fingers. This obnoxious schoolyard bully has got to be brought down. Didn't you ever watch television? When there's a scenario on a situation comedy where there's a bully involved, the bully gets creamed at the end. So that's what's going to happen here. The bully's going to get creamed. This psychotic bully. I can diagnose him in a split second. I'm not even a psychologist. I can diagnose this guy in a split second. When you're a little snibbling, cowardly little asshole, you set up this scenario. You shoot your guns at everybody continually. You show how nasty and horrible you can be so people don't want to mess with you. And all you're doing is protecting the fact that you're a sensitive little whiny bitch. I am so formidable, you don't want to deal with me, you don't want to mess with me. So you just keep firing your guns. That's what he does. He insults everybody that disagrees with him. He demeans them. He fat shames them. On and on. Blah, blah, blah. You know, if you're the Justice Department and you don't go along with me, then you're all so-called judges. You're all political. You don't know what you're doing. If you're the press and you, the media, and you comment on anything that I say or do negatively, well, then you're the enemy of the American people, which is an egregious thing to say. And you also make up fake news. And that comes from Donald Trump, who makes up fake news himself. Or the news that he spouts is something that he saw on a news show, which is fake news. So he uses fake news in his mind to spout news that is true, even though his source was supposedly, in his estimation, fake. He makes no sense, and yet the guy is the president. So here's the deal. Get him out of there. impeach him for so many different reasons. He just every day he gives you like 1,000 reasons to get rid of him. He flies down to Florida to be with his supporters like he's doing a campaign rally. And he actually says, when he begins the rally, he actually says, "I came down to Florida to be among my friends. Because they're mean up there in Washington. They're so mean throughout the country. I go, oh, they're so mean to me." So he stays among his staunch supporters, who would stay with him even if he shot somebody in the middle of New York. Middle of Manhattan, I should be accurate. He recoils to these people where he can be happy, and his golf course is just down the street. This is, get rid of him. You don't seem to understand. Well, most of you do seem to understand. You've got to get rid of him. You can't lead a country where 60% of the people hate your fucking guts. Ron, that's not true. He's got a 40% approval rating. Oh, wow. Well, that's a mandate, isn't it? He's screwed. Get him out of there. I don't mind a President Pence. I don't mind it. I've been through Republican presidents before. I disagree with many of their policies, but I can deal with that. To each his own, whatever. If you're respectful and you listen to people, you can do what you want. I can put up with Pence, but I can't put up with a psychotic. Man, it's not about the policies. It's about the fact that the guy sitting in the Oval Office, the strongest position on the globe, is a moron, a psychotic, a dictator. And don't tell me he's not. Oh, don't tell me he's not. John McCain himself said, hey, this is the language of dictators who want to abolish free press. Without that, that's a dictatorship. And Trump has already said how much he admires Putin because Putin comes up with a thing and all his people follow him. Yeah, because they have to, idiot. I mean, just get him out of office. Just lure him away with a golf club or something. Impeach him. Impeach him or indict him. Get him out of the way. Let's not continue like this. We're a little smarter than that, aren't we all? Stay with your Republicans. Get Pence in there, fine, whatever. Just get this is just embarrassing. I'm just so embarrassed. You know, this is just embarrassing. All right, let's move on. I've wasted enough time with this idiot already.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? Mm-hmm. It's simple. No pants.
That's right.
Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Hey, we do this every single weekday. I know. Isn't that something? That's amazing. You can listen to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, over 500, over 600 episodes now by going to podbean.com. Go to the Ron Van Dam Show. They're all there, all 600 of them. I don't know why they save them, but they do. You want to binge listen for the next century? You can go for it, man. I'll drive you nuts. You can find us on TuneIn Radio, iTunes, the Podbean Network, obviously, some syndicated radio stations in the country, depending on how they feel about me at the particular time and whether I curse or not, and other podcast outlets throughout this entire country. Some credit now, some shout-outs, whatever the hell that means. Jason Shaw, what you're listening to is Jason Shaw stuff. He also wrote the theme, performed the theme, does this little bit, and other things that you hear throughout the show, Jason Shaw. Thank you, Jason. Give it up. John Shanahan, he does the announcing, the comedy commercials, the little things, you know, that you hear. Funny man, excellent writer, wonderful human being. Cleans his fingernails, does everything right. Chris Byrne, the toy guy, is going to join us later in the hour, or whatever it is, ends up being. I went to Rhode Island this weekend. Yeah, I'm admitting it. I don't find any great shame in it. I believe it's the smallest state in the Union. I'm not sure. I believe it is. I know if you outstretch both your arms, you can reach both sides of them. Not both sides of the arm, but both sides of the state, of the borders. And but it's a nice place, Rhode Island, some of them not. So I went to a Rhode Island Symphony concert, which was, I mean, I think they were better than the Boston Symphony. I think they were. I've been to both. I think the Rhode Island one's better. I'm just saying. Anyway, I went to an Indian restaurant there, and the food was pretty good, but kudos to them. Guess what the name of the Indian restaurant is? It's an incredible branding. What they call the Indian restaurant in Providence is the India Restaurant. How did you get that name? It's called India. Well, how do we best describe the food, Bob? Should we call it Bob's? No, because it's Indian food and it doesn't say that in the title. Should we call it That Little Taste of India? No, that's good. That's excellent, actually, but no. Let's just get to the point. What do you want to call it then? How about just India? The whole thing? Yes. Well, that's what they call it, man. It's an incredible name. I mean, just you don't walk into the place and say, well, I thought this was a comic book store. No, it's India. The name of the place is India. So you go in there. Very, very nice place. A little cramped, but very, very nice. Cramped in the sense that it's the tables are a little close as opposed to the fact that when you walk in, you immediately have cramps. I mean, that's possible, but that's not what I'm talking about. The funny thing is India and China have a lot in common. And I think it's that there's a lot of fucking people in both places. And interestingly enough, what India and China also have in common besides population is rice. They both rely on rice. Tons of rice. And oddly enough, I guess the more people you have, the more rice you need. I don't know. How do you feed billions of people? Rice, I guess. Yeah, it is. Yes, it's rice. That's how we feed our people, with rice. I guess rice is very abundant. When you go to a Chinese restaurant, let's go back to China now. When you go to a Chinese restaurant, when you order anything, what does it come with? A bowl of rice, a good sized bowl of rice. When you order a combination plate in a Chinese restaurant, and they always have them numbered, because for some reason, the Chinese restaurants, they say, all right, enough of this crap. Let's just get down to it. What would you like? I'll have the chicken chow mein, white rice. Let's just tell me that you want number 3. Well, that's a very interesting way of ordering. You know, in China, they don't do that. You know, in China, Chinese people don't walk into their own restaurants in Beijing or whatever and sit down and say, yeah, I'll have 21 today. Give me 21. Yesterday, 18 was a little salty. I didn't care. The shrimp was a little stringy in 12. Let's do 37 today. I haven't had 37 in like 20 times, so let's do that. They don't do that, but in our American restaurants, our American Chinese restaurants, we order by number. We paint by number. We order by number. It's the only cuisine where you order by number, the combination plate number. Don't you tell me everything. Just give me the number. Anyway, everything is accompanied by tons of rice, and I mean tons of rice. I'm not just saying it like you have your Chinese meal and a little scoop of rice. No. They back up a truck to your plate. It is more rice than it's bigger than your head. Anything that's bigger than your head should not be consumed in one sitting. I often thought that the Chinese people give you so much rice because they're always constantly running out of chicken and beef. I don't know. Well, it's the same thing in Indian restaurants. They do the same thing. Indian restaurants, everything is curry. There's like 20 different kinds of curry, but it's all curry. And different temperatures of curry. It can be a mild curry, a very hot curry, or a medium curry. But it's fucking curry. I mean, you're going to be running into curry somewhere. No matter what you order, you're going to get, again, a ton of rice. It's different rice. It's what they call basmati rice or something. I don't know what makes it different. It's got a little more texture to it, a little more, little something to it more so. It's not goopy. It's not sticky rice. But there's a ton of that too. They just pile it on the plate. And we as Americans, we eat by volume. We like tasty things. That counts somewhat. But we eat by volume. I don't care what it is you're going to give me or what it is I'm ordering. Just make sure you give me tons of it. That's why we do takeout in this country. But you can't possibly eat all that stuff. I do. I will eat until I literally get sick and puke because it's my job, man. If you put food in front of me, I appreciate it. I'm going to return the favor by eating it. Smart people leave with, you can always tell the skinny people because they leave with takeout. You know, they say, I can't finish this. Can I get this to go to take out with me? Why sure you can. And they give you the styrofoam thing and they put it in a bag and you leave with it. Those are skinny people. Those are people that know when they've had enough. Me? Nah. I don't know when I've had enough. I have no concept of that. And keep me away from a buffet. Because that's the worst. Because I can have little bits of everything for eternity. It's tough to walk away from a buffet. Just one more. And you know that you've had too much when you go back to the buffet for the fifth time, and now you're picking out the meat from the dish when you're at the buffet. You're not taking the scoops with the spoon anymore. You're picking out the little pieces. I like the shrimp chow mein, but I'm just going to pick out the shrimp here and put that on my plate. It's trying to fool me with rice. I don't know if rice is that good for me. It's like full of carbohydrates. Isn't that what makes you fat? But yet I see the Chinese people of our world eating rice. But maybe they don't eat it. They don't eat as much rice maybe as we eat. Maybe they have a smaller amount of rice. It's just in America that they pile it high. Just piles and piles of rice. Piles of rice. It's like if you went into the kitchen of a Chinese restaurant and you walked in, when you opened the door to the kitchen, piles of rice would come flooding out of it and consume you and kill you and suffocate you. Just tons of rice. Rice as far as the eye can see. I don't get the cuisine. I've talked about Chinese food before. I don't... It's you know, we talk about fake news. This is fake food. They name stuff that doesn't have the stuff in it. Chicken fingers, not real. There's no such thing. I don't think chickens really have fingers, and if they do, that's not what you're eating. Peking ravioli. The hell's that? It's not ravioli. Ravioli has like tomato sauce and stuff, right? Oh, I guess that's Italian ravioli. I really don't know. Crab rangoon. Ain't a lick of crab in that thing. You expect them to come out with an entire crab in a rangoon. I don't know what a rangoon is, but you assume that you'll be seeing one if you order it. There's not any crab in it. What should it be called? Fried cream cheese, because that's all it is. Fried cream cheese wrapped in dough. Fried dough surrounding cream cheese. Cream cheese puffs. Crab rangoon, there's no crab in it, kids. Now, in many states, including Massachusetts, when you order lobster sauce, you expect to see some lobster in it. No, it's ground beef and pork, usually ground pork. Why isn't it ground pork sauce? Why do you call it lobster sauce? There is no lobster in it at all. What is that about? How can you get away with this? Shouldn't all these people in Chinese restaurants be arrested for false advertising? It's not what you asked for. What's that stuff that you dip everything in? Duck sauce? It ain't made from ducks. It has nothing to do with the duck whatsoever. When you squeeze a duck, that sauce don't come out. You can't call it duck sauce. There's no duck involved. Unless you're throwing the sauce around in the kitchen and you're yelling to the other chefs, duck, here comes the sauce. There's no duck involved in this. You can't do that. You can't do that. It's not right. They really need to better label their stuff. I have a problem with that. If you want it, come get it. That's what it should be.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it.
Make your mind up. Did you ever order the Scorpion Bowl drink? They just throw a lot of liquors in a bowl and give you a couple of straws. They don't even know what they're putting in it. But let me tell you something. In a Scorpion Bowl, there's no scorpions. If there were, I wouldn't drink it.
If you want it, here it is, come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast. If you want it, here it is, come and get it.
My favorite drink in a Chinese restaurant is a suffering bastard. I can relate to it.
If you want it anytime, I can give it. But you better hurry, cause it may not last. Did I hear you say that there must be a catch? Will you walk away from a fool and his money? Sonny, if you want it.
Chinese cocktails are very interesting. They have interesting names. They come in interesting glasses, interesting containers. But it's odd. It's like the Chinese people say, let's make an alcoholic drink. Let's see how much sugar we can fit into it. Let's make sure that all our cocktails are loaded with the largest amount of sugar that people can tolerate. They got it down.
Hurry, cause it's going fast. You better hurry, cause it's going fast. You better hurry, cause it's going fast.
listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Chris Byrne is a toy guy. We speak to him once every couple of months. He keeps us informed as to what the toy industry is putting out now.
Good morning, Ron.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I am great. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome for me asking you. Chris Byrne is a toy guy. You know that. He's the contact director for TTPM.com. He's the author of Toy Time and a toy historian, and he's with us every few months to keep us on top of the toy stuff, which is important if you're a person and you have children, even if you're an adult. This is wonderful stuff. Chris, it's 2017. I wanted to tell you that. And as you know, things change. You know, talking to you is like talking to somebody in the fashion industry, because fashions change by the season and there are different predictions for the year. Same thing with toys, isn't it?
It actually is. This is one of the few industries like fashion where 40% of the product on the shelf is new for this year.
There you go.
You don't find that in almost any other consumer products category. And, you know, this year the big news is entertainment. There are 27 movies that are targeting kids and that have toy programs mm-hmm. with them. And that doesn't even count TV. And that's not just TV. It's Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and all of those other people. So it's amazing.
It is amazing. And it's quite an incredible business as well. But let's talk about what's good for us and what's fun for us. What's happening in 2017? Is there a certain direction that toys are going in?
Well, I think one of the things we're seeing, overall trends, is like classic play. And when there is technology, it has to make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So classic play, especially TV, we've got Doc McStuffins. I think she's in her fourth season. This year she's all about welcoming a new baby sister. So that's a really great classic nurturing type of play for kids. Mm-hmm. Just Play has a baby checkup all-in-one nursery, so it actually lets Doc get ready for, you know, her baby sister, which helps kids understand that as well. That's going to be huge. It's coming out $79.99 in the fall.
Wow. Okay. What else is going on?
Well, classic toys are really having a comeback too, and VTech has a thing called Gear Zoos, and this is a train. Now, you've probably seen those classic gear toys, the sort of flat things with gears.
Yeah.
Really great for kids. It's all about cause and effect and different things. Well, they made that three-dimensional and put it on a train. So you've got 15 different gears, animals, all kinds of great ways for kids to interact with it. And it's really appropriate for 1.5 to 4 years. It's really, they really have delved into, you know, what kids can do at that age.
Oh, man. The fascination with trains at any age through the decades is just, you can't go wrong with some type of innovation that has to do with trains or moving things.
You can. And, you know, this is going to be another big year for Lego.
Yeah.
The Batman Lego Batman movie is out. It's really fun. The Batcave Break-In has got 1,047 pieces. It's one of 13 sets that they've done for the movie. Lego Batman, Lego sets. Hey, why not? but that's about $99.99. And that's pretty cool because it's really, it's inspired by the movie. So there's a lot of things that you'd like to see for a second or two in the movie that they've really built out in the set, which is cool.
Tricky stuff in the movie, huh?
Yeah.
Good.
The other big movie coming this year that we're really excited about is Despicable Me 3. That's opening on June 30th, and a company called Wowie has created a Turbo Dave Minion MIP. Now, MIP is sort of a robotic toy that they've had for a couple of years. They've now interpreted it as a minion, so it's got all kinds of great sounds and lights, and in addition to playing with it, driving it with the app, you can also learn basic coding. So it's not just, it's play, but it's immersive play. It's not just watching this guy run around, so that's fun too.
Wow. So and these are all age-appropriate toys for various ages, obviously. Are these marketed still to the children or to the parents? Where's marketing going these days?
You know, great question, because I think it really depends. I mean, movie fans, of course, Lego has a huge age range. Mm-hmm. I think when you get into something like Despicable Me, the Minions are very popular throughout the culture, mm-hmm. so it really depends on how sophisticated that is. A lot of toys, you know, when the kids are young, like the VTech age, yeah. the parent is making the decision, and there are things that are concerning to them, like with Arts and Crafts, they want to make sure there's no mess.
Right.
So we've got the Color Wonder. They've got a brush this year, and Color Wonder is a paint that the color only shows up on the paper. So you can paint the wall, you can paint your hands, not going to make a mess. And then the other area that we're seeing for marketing is YouTube. Now, people are putting a lot of YouTube videos up, so
yes.
kids want to try. They have a company that's done a lot of that with their bows and arrows, is Zing, and they've introduced something new called Thumbchucks, which are basically two light-up balls on about a 4-inch tether that you can do all kinds of stunts and tricks with. It's kind of like the new yo-yo, if you will. That's really, kids are creating stunts and sharing them on YouTube. So that's becoming a huge marketing tool for toy companies.
Yeah, see, what's interesting, because you're a toy historian, is there was a time when toys were simply, you got down on your knees and you played with something. Now the toy definition is like almost everything. It comes into play in every field and every stretch of the imagination, and they're all toys. It's like 50-fold of what it used to be.
Yeah, and we live in, you know, the baby boomers are all growing up and getting old, and you know, they don't want to give up their toys. So there's a lot of things that fascinate them, and I think that toys have evolved a lot. You know, when they used to be in the 1920s and 1930s, it was things like erector sets and for girls, because we did it that time, you know, housekeeping type of mm-hmm. item. So it's preparing kids to grow up. Now it's really entertainment. One of the other areas we've seen has been games, and games uh-huh. have been huge with like Pie Face. You probably saw that.
Yep.
There's a new one called Toilet Trouble, which basically hits a plastic toilet. It's about a foot tall. You spin the toilet roll. How many times do you have to flush? And then you stick your face in the toilet bowl, and you might get sprayed with water. So, you know, when I was at BU, we played that, but with a different area. But
wow. Okay.
But this is a great family game, about 1999.
Wow. Okay, wonderful. It just shows you that there's a possibility of everything that goes on with toys.
All right. You know, they call those suspense games, and it's just really silly. You can see them all at TTPM.
Beautiful. Okay, and again, that's TTPM.com. And Chris, how can they follow you if they care to do so?
On Instagram and Twitter, I'm the Toy Guy, and you can see my great My Little Pony sweater that I'm wearing today that I can't show you on the radio.
No, you can't, but we'll see it on the internet thing.
Great,
Chris. Always good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you soon again.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay, wearing a My Little Pony sweater. Oh my God.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have in mind for you. Aquarius, take a chance on doing something that might leave a mark or a scar. Pisces, your lucky number is 781.57. But don't be off by so much as a decimal, or it means certain death. Aries, dance like no one is watching, because in your case, no one is. You're all alone in this world. Embrace that. Taurus, I have three words for you. Lubricants, lubricants, lubricants. Gemini, get ready for a big surprise courtesy of a shellfish allergy you didn't know you had. Cancer, now is a great time to buy that samurai sword you've been thinking about. The ninjas are closing in. Leo. Hi, Leo. How are you? Virgo. Order the creme brulee, then leave without paying. This will lead to true love and a criminal record. Libra. Lucky you. The stars are aligning. Good fortune and prosperity are coming your way, and happiness will... Oh, wait. Sorry, I skipped ahead. That's for Scorpio. Libra, make peace with your gods, for your time of reckoning is at hand. Sagittarius, remember that life is a marathon, not a sprint. But in your case, It might not hurt to step up the pace a little. The clock is running. And Capricorn, leave it alone. Stop picking at it or it won't heal. Try some coconut oil. And that's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
Inspiring stuff. Very inspiring. I prefer to make the future happen as to waiting for it to see what happens to me. But to each his own, to own his each. No idea what that meant. I'm very excited about this. You know, every once in a while, I like to tease you. I like to rattle your brain somewhat. But to be honest with you, I'm just way too tired to do that right now. I have tried to meditate and to get into this existential world of meditation and stuff. It's very, very difficult to do with all the telemarketers calling all day and having an overactive mind and even more overactive bladder. So I find it difficult to meditate. And I've told you this on previous shows. What I do is I play lullaby music. I try to bring myself back to my infancy when lullaby music will just lull me to sleep, which is why I guess they call it lullaby music, because it lulls you. Lullaby. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I have trouble clearing my mind. There's a lot of stuff in it. I would love to have the kind of mind that you could just turn it off. And I guess when you get older, it does turn off, and that's a problem. But when you're younger, it's not. You want to just take all the pressures of life and pressures of the world and just put them behind you, or just tune them out for a second. You know, so many people say, Ron, you know, it's not good to tune things out. It's good to face them head on. No, it's not. Yes, it can be, but no, it's not. If you face everything, if everything to you is worth battling about, is worth being concerned about, is worth getting all anxious and up in your face about it, then you probably want to be president of the United States. And by the way, as I understand it, that so-called president, and I won't say his name, apparently doesn't sleep well at night. Another problem that lends itself to a horrible scenario of awkward psychosis. The man don't sleep. And I don't believe it's because he pees all night. Although he's 70 years old, he kind of probably does pee all night. But he's probably got a lot on his mind. I'll tell you something, man, if I've learned one lesson in my life, and I've learned many, one of those lessons is be careful what you wish for. It's very natural for a person to embrace a challenge like, I see this and I want it. And then you get it, and then you realize, okay, I got it. Now I don't want it. I want the next thing, but I don't want this anymore. I kind of maybe never really wanted this. I just wanted the feeling of achieving this. Now I don't want it. Some people call that getting married. Be careful about that crap. Be careful about that. Make sure that what you're going for is what you really want. Otherwise, you're going to settle. And just be careful, man. Be careful what you wish for. All right, that's enough. I've had it. I mean, you only pay so much money for this. What? You don't pay money for this? You don't pay for this? Why am I doing this then? Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. This is going to stop right now. I didn't know that. I know I get paid through other means, through the pod people, and yeah, I know, but I thought you were paying me as well. You're not? I thought this was $100 a pop. It's not? I have to reassess this whole thing. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I will be back tomorrow, but you're going to pay for it. I wish you peace. Only kidding, you probably won't. Hey, I got news for you. I wouldn't pay for this either, so don't worry about it. You're not alone.